Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the treaties of peace and friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Tuesday, August 31st. Coming up on today's show, we talk getting out the student vote with Mount Allison Students Union Vice President Hannah Ehler, and we celebrate a CHMA win at the National Community Radio Awards for 2021, where programmer Oralyn Grooms took home the Women's Hands and Voices Award. That's coming up right after these local news updates. A 16-foot utility trailer belonging to the town of Sackville has been stolen from behind the Civic Center. The town reports that the trailer was taken sometime between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning, and is asking anyone with information to call the RCMP. RCMP daily occurrence reports for the Sackville detachment show two break-and-enters over the weekend. The incidents involved break-and-enter and theft in private residences, and in one incident, a vehicle was stolen. Investigations are ongoing in both. In the past week, RCMP have recovered two stolen vehicles in the Sackville detachment area, though investigations into each are ongoing. Vitalite Health Network is hosting a drop-in vaccination clinic in Sackville tomorrow at the Tantramar Veterans Memorial Civic Center. From 12:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., the clinic will offer both Pfizer and Moderna doses, and appointments are not required. On Thursday, the Corner Drugstore will run a drop-in clinic offering doses of the Pfizer vaccine from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Both the province and the Corner Drugstore have hit vaccination milestones recently. On Monday, the province announced it met its 75% of eligible vaccination target, which was originally announced as the trigger for the end of public health restrictions in the province. Meeting the target means that 75% of the population 12 and over, or nearly 67% of the full population, have received two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. More have received a single dose, nearly 85% of those 12 and over, and just over 75% of the full population. And in local milestones, the Corner Drugstore Pharmacy in Sackville gave its 7,000th COVID-19 vaccination over the weekend. 11-year-old Deshaun Tower received the milestone dose on Saturday. Deshaun is newly eligible for a dose of a COVID-19 vaccine after the province extended eligibility to anyone turning 12 by December 31st of this year. The town of Sackville will be introducing kayak and canoe rentals at Silver Lake, thanks to a $15,000 prize won by residents in the Participaction Community Better Challenge. After winning the cash prize for scoring as New Brunswick's most active community in June, Sackville's Recreation Department decided to survey residents to see how they wanted to spend the money. 252 people voted for one of four options in the online survey, and more than half, 54%, chose canoe and kayak rentals at Silver Lake as the project to spend their winnings on. 23% of voters chose Walker Road Trail enhancements, 19% chose recreation program subsidies, and just 4% chose enhancements to the existing equipment loan program run by Sackville Recreation. The town's announcement says staff will start working to make Silver Lake rentals happen for the 2022 season. The deadline to apply to become Sackville's climate change coordinator has been extended, and the position changed so that only those 30 and under will qualify. People 30 and under now have until September 12th to apply for the six-month term position funded through New Brunswick's Environmental Trust Fund. The coordinator will work on implementation of the town's adaptation and emissions reduction action plans. They will also help educate town staff and council and raise public awareness about climate change impacts and actions at the local level. The position is funded through New Brunswick's Environmental Trust Fund and was originally planned as a full-year position. Partial funding was announced in April, but the process to secure the funding took months and the job was originally posted in July. Students across the country have voiced their concerns over the decision by Elections Canada to abandon its campus polling program during the upcoming federal election. With voter turnout in the 18 to 24 age group already the lowest across the age spectrum, the decision could mean young and new voters are not fairly represented in the election on September 20th. I called up Hannah Ehler, a vice president with the Mount Allison Students Union, to get her thoughts on the Elections Canada move and to find out what's happening in Sackville to help get out the student vote.
Hannah Ehler, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when you heard about the Elections Canada decision to stop campus polling, what was your reaction?
Well, it's interesting because we were informed of the decision in late June, really. CASA, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations, informed us of Elections Canada was kind of teetering on the fence a little bit about whether or not they had foreseen having the vote on campus program. At that time, they were saying that it seemed unfeasible because of COVID-19, but there was a lot of pushback from CASA and from other national organizations to really strongly have them reconsider deciding to not hold the program. And so this tweet or whatever has been formally announced recently, confirming their decision to not have the program, wasn't a shock necessarily, but we are still quite disappointed that they have decided to not hold the program.
Now, Mount A is actually in a pretty good position in terms of student voting in a way, because it's a small campus and a small community, and the campus is quite close to our polling station. So do you think you're concerned about like the more local impact or the more sort of national impact across the country?
The national impact is definitely something to be concerned about, because you're completely right. Mount Allison is located in a smaller community. Accessing the Tantramar Civic Center or the Elections Canada office is only a 5-minute walk from campus. And so having our closely knit residence teams encouraging students to walk to the polls together, et cetera, really isn't a barrier for us. But in other parts of the country where there's campuses spread across downtown like Toronto or Vancouver, having that voting station on campus gave students a much better opportunity to actually get there and get their vote in because they were passing by it every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been, a lot of talk. I mean, one of the reasons they brought in this campus polling program was, because the 18-24 age group has, sort of for the last few elections had lower voter turnout than the other relative to other age groups. Do you have theories as to why that is or what can be done to help improve that?
I was talking to someone the other day and they told me that, your polling, whether or not you decide to vote really all comes down to the first experience. And I do believe that to be true to a certain extent. I think that if young voters have people surrounding them that haven't had great experiences voting or really don't necessarily care about the voting process, then they might not be as inclined to vote. And so, It's really important to have that first experience be a really good one and create the sort of culture on campuses and with any youth groups really in expressing why voting is so important and why the student voice matters.
Mm. Many Mount Allison students voted in the last provincial election, some tried to and some weren't able to. There was some confusion about the eligibility because of the provincial rules around residency for in the riding in this federal election. So, I mean, do you think that will sort of affect turnout in this federal election? And are you concerned at all about the clarity of the rules for students?
I'm not concerned about the clarity of the rules. I think that Elections Canada and CASA have done a really great job at trying to communicate the process as clearly as possible. But I am concerned that, the incidents that took place last year would affect how students feel about voting, because like I said, it does come down to that first experience sometimes. And so we are really hopeful that our campaign at the MASU can show once again just how important it is to get out there and vote and encourage your friends to get out there and vote. Because what happened last year was, it was a unique situation and a unique case, and I would hate for that to put a sour taste in folks' mouths when we really just want to make our democracy as strong as we can.
What would you like to see Elections Canada do to help make sure that young voters are inspired to get out and actually cast a vote?
Yeah, I think it's really important to make voting a personal experience. You know, some of the messaging and communications that should be going out there should surround some personal stories and some reasons why voting has changed some of the lives of young people. I know in talking to some of my peers and colleagues that, you know, voting in a country like ours has been really powerful and a really impactful experience for them. So I'd love to see Elections Canada kind of engage in some of the storytelling, but also just definitely pushing how easy and how simple it is to get out there and vote and to apply for mail, to vote by mail so that the ballot comes right to your door, or to find your way to an Elections Canada office and make it a sort of social thing and go out for dinner afterwards or something along those lines.
Now, Matthew has some plans afoot for encouraging students to get out the vote this year. What do you have planned?
Yeah, there's a lot on the go here at the Matthew office. So we know, as I had already said, we want to make sure that the first time voting for a lot of students is a great one, especially for students living in residence. So we are planning to have some in-residence sort of sessions, going to have some get out the vote volunteers go in and physically guide students through the process on a big screen about how to apply by mail and how to register to vote. We will also be organizing some walks to the polls on Election Day from the Student Center and from residences for those who might not find the time to get out there themselves but might go there with a big group of people. The New Brunswick Student Alliance, which is made up of Mount Allison, UMB Fredericton, UMB St. John, and St. Thomas University, we're all working on developing a massive government to-do list campaign, kind of having it available throughout the election period to engage students in the election and write down some government action items, as we're calling it, to see kind of what they would come up with if they could have a chat with government and push for something on behalf of students. And we're really excited about that big project, and we'll also be doing some classroom visits and other things along the way.
All right, so you'll have some sort of student-specific issues coming out.
Yeah, that's the hope.
And when do you think that that's going to be coming out, Hannah?
The to-do list?
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping to launch it this weekend during the welcome day, I suppose, when all of the students return, and we'll have it around campus and hopefully around the community as well, because we would love to get some community members and other residents involved, not just students, throughout the duration of the election up until September 21st.
Okay, well, thanks, Hannah. I appreciate it, and hopefully this, the damper on student votes won't affect Mount A and Sackville, but I guess we'll see you at the polling stations on September 20th.
I truly hope so too. Thank you.
That was Mount Allison Students Union Vice President External, Hannah Ehler. Finally, on today's Tantramar Report, we have some good CHMA news to share. CHMA programmer Oralyn Grooms has taken home a top prize in the National Campus and Community Radio Association Annual Awards. Grooms' show, Full Disclosure, which airs Saturday at 6 p.m., won the Women's Hands and Voices Award at the annual Awards for Community Radio in Canada. The episode, which garnered the award, featured an interview with Mount Allison activist Michelle Roy. Roy started a movement on the Mount Allison campus in the fall of 2020, which culminated in a massive protest calling out the university for its inadequate handling of sexual violence on campus. The university eventually formed a working group on sexual violence and hired consultants to evaluate the system and make recommendations. The consultants reported back this summer, and the university has announced an interim plan to tackle the recommendations. Here's part of the episode of Full Disclosure, which caught the eyes of the Community Radio Award judges.
My name's Aiden Tomalty. I'm a second-year student at Mount A. And my name's Aura. I'm also a second year student at Mount A. And today we have a very special guest with us.
Hi. First of all, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
And my name is Michelle Roy. I am a fifth year student here, fifth and last year student at Mount Allison. I have a major in history and I have a triple minor in women's and gender studies, museum and curatorial studies, and community engaged learning.
Okay, so would you like to kind of just let us know why we chose to interview you today, I guess? Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of started a movement on Instagram that is getting quite big so far. Last week, I think now, I posted a photo near the Mount Allison sign in my graduate cap with a poster that said Mount Allison supports rapists and Mount Allison University silences victims. It kind of started back in 2016. I was a victim of sexual harassment that led to a physical altercation. And the whole incident left me really confused. And I started speaking up about it with my friends. And slowly but surely, a lot of different stories started happening, coming forward. And I realized that it was a really big issue here at Mount A. Many of these students ended up coming forward to the university, myself included, and nothing was really done. So I started talking about this experience a lot throughout my years here. I started doing a lot of advocacy through different committees, societies. I wrote articles. I basically did it all, and nothing ever happened. So last week, with all this in mind, I had a student approach me, a first-year student. And she told me a story, and like I've said before, if anybody's heard me talk before, that, you know, it's not my story to tell. But all I can say is that the story was very similar to the story that happened in 2016 when a bunch of people came forward and nothing ever happened. And it really shocked me that, you know, this was happening. And I realized I couldn't graduate Mount Allison University proudly knowing that first-year students were walking into something, somewhere, an institution where they would just be victimized and traumatized. So that's why I decided to make the post. Mount Allison University and probably like half the faculty and administration, they all follow me on Twitter and Instagram, and some of them have me on Facebook. So I knew they would see it, and that's why I posted it. I did not expect it to get this big, but it did. It spread all across Canada. I've had people all around the world approach me, so... Yeah.
And so this post, I guess it has changed your opinion of social media and the uses that we can use for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I, like we were talking about before this started, I started my Instagram with 600 followers, which is not a lot for anybody who doesn't know Instagram. it's my personal Instagram, so it's full of photos of my dog and myself. I've never had a post that has more than 100 likes. So when I posted this, I didn't even want to post it on Instagram at first because I figured, you know, I'll get like 20 likes and that's about it. But I posted it and I guess it just started getting shared on people's Instagram stories and people started seeing it. And I want to say slowly, but it wasn't slowly at all. It was within hours. I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of likes. My followers were increasing. People were messaging me. And when I say hundreds and hundreds, I mean hundreds and hundreds of people were messaging me. Some of them were messaging me experiences. Some people were messaging me experiences that had happened to their friends. And some people were just sending me positive thoughts and encouraging me to continue. So it definitely changed the way I look at social media. It's definitely a platform, whether you have a big social media platform or you don't, it's a platform where you can speak out and you will be heard. And I think especially at such a small university like Mount Allison, it's hard to post anything and not have the university see it. So back on that, anybody can do it. It's not just me. And I'm just a normal person. A lot of people keep calling me famous. The other day at the grocery store, somebody was checking me out and she was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm checking out someone who's famous. And I'm like, we've had classes before. You know me, you know I'm not famous. So yeah, anybody can do it. And I encourage everybody to do it, to speak out, not even about sexual violence on campus, but anything that they believe in and they want to make a statement on. So yeah.
So as you just said, you have been flooded with hundreds and hundreds of personal stories from survivors. What seems to be the biggest recurring problem or problems among these personal stories?
Yeah, so I definitely think a lot of it involves alcohol. I think the university has policies when it comes to alcohol that are harmful. For example, in a lot of these assaults tend to happen mostly in first year, a lot of it during orientation week where there's a lot of alcohol involved. And again, I just want to clarify, alcohol is no excuse, but you're putting all these first years into these residences, especially during COVID, where everybody can't really leave their residence. And Mount Allison has a policy where students are not allowed to drink in common spaces. They're only allowed to drink in their rooms, which I strongly believe leads to very harmful situations. A lot of these stories happen when somebody walks into a room and locks the door. So alcohol is definitely an issue. A lot of it, I've seen a lot of stories too of date rape drugs on campus and at local bars and at local parties. So I think that falls also on education. We need more education on campus. A lot of these stories as well pertain to the university basically not doing anything. The university tends, I always say, they say, we're here for you, we hear you, good job. And then they turn around and don't do anything whatsoever. They tell you they're listening, so you think they're doing something and they never do. A lot of assailants have been protected by the university. And I don't think it goes that the university wants to protect assailants. I think the university wants to protect their reputation. At the end of the day, we're the number one undergraduate school for McLean's, you know, and they don't want to damage that. So I think they sweep things under the rug a lot. And I think that's been the majority of the issue here.
So that kind of ties us into our next question. So do you feel that rape culture kind of has a role in this issue or situation?
I strongly believe rape culture impacts this. I think rape culture is all around us, from the music we listen to the things we learn in our classrooms, to just our normal day-to-day lives. I think people aren't educated enough on what rape culture is anymore. Not anymore. I don't think it ever was a thing. Yeah. I think, again, back on the university, they have a serious problem when it comes to education.
So is there anything else that you want to add before we end the interview?
I just want to say thank you guys for having me. This was great.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
so
you
much
to everybody who's listening. And again, my social media is always open for anybody who wants to message me about anything, anything they want to start. So, yeah.
That was activist Michelle Roy speaking with Oralyn Grooms and Aiden Tumalty of Full Disclosure, which airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CHMA. That episode of Full Disclosure took home the Women's Hands and Voices Award in the 2021 Community Radio Awards, announced recently by the National Campus and Community Radio Association. You can check out the full episode online at chmafm.com. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour Report for this Tuesday, August 31st. Remember, you can always get in touch with your concerns at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.